We started recording. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What?
We're still going to get the M&M from the Hajj.
Get what?
The M&Ms from the Hajj.
What do you mean?
M&Ms.
What's that? So last time we were talking about tawakkul. How do you do tawakkul on Allah? So when you do your homework and pray to Allah, then Allah will help you. Okay? So Allah wants to give a message.
But then you're not trying though.
Let's go.
Yeah, but you'll still try. Let's go.
Yes.
Just, like,
still,
yeah.
Here's the rule. The rule is... The rule is that if you make... If you did your homework... Your homework, then what is homework? Then the result is Allah may help you with the unseen soldiers. Yeah. I'm going to explain those unseen soldiers. What? S-O-L? Soldiers. Now.
Like that. No, I said soldiers, like
S. S-O-L-D.
Yeah, I had it like that.
Yeah, the S-T.
That's what I was saying. Soldiers, plural, yes. So what is the story of the unseen soldiers? Okay, we have two things. We have two things. We have the laws of nature. We have the laws of nature, and we have... miracles. Miracles. First time? What is it? What's the first time? So we have two rules. We have the rules of miracles, and we have the rules. Actually, I should say it the other way around. I should say we have the laws of the nature, or the rules of nature, and then we have outside of the rules of nature.
I want to give this one example. It might be a miracle, but I just
want to say,
my sister was...
Go ahead.
Nothing happened to her. She was just scared, but she even hit the floor. We all heard the thump. of her body hitting the floor, but nothing happened to her.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That shows you things that are sort of miracles. Can you sit over there? Things over there.
Okay. When I was 9 years old, we were out to playing by a public beach. So we were all swimming, my cousins, my brothers and I, but I got stung by a huge jellyfish. It just wrapped itself around my arm.
Where were you?
I went to tell my papa and he said I got lucky because most jellyfish kill when they sting you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some feet and knees. Alright, let's not get off topic, people.
Please, hold on. Listen, the rules of nature says that if you do your job, okay, if you do your job, you might be successful, you might not be successful. First of all, Allah created heavens and earth, and how long? What was the time?
7 days.
7 days or 6 days?
7.
6 days.
7 is more popular.
No, Allah said in the Quran 6.
Oh, I thought.
Oh, don't be like the. Some people say 6 days and he rested on the 7th.
Like
he rested on the 7th.
No,
that's a low image of Allah. When you say Allah rested at the 7th, what if somebody tells you that? You say, SubhanAllah. What do you say?
SubhanAllah.
Can you put away this book, Zainab?
Yeah,
so, if you, if somebody says Allah created heavens in 6 days and the rested on the 7th, you say?
SubhanAllah.
You say SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
Means Allah is better than that. Those who think Allah rests or needs a rest have a low image of Allah.
Don't you say that when you see something beautiful?
Huh?
Don't you say that when you see Allah?
Yeah. Okay. So, if you see something really, really amazing, then you're saying Allah is better than this.
Say, Allah is better than that. You say, SubhanAllah. Means SubhanAllah means He is good enough to create something like that. This is other meaning. So, come on, babies. Don't talk. So, now, how about Allah says in the end of Surah Yaseen that He can create things by one word. Be, and it will be. Form, and it will form. Exist, and it will exist. Okay? Now, by Allah saying, exist, and it exists. Would creation in 6 days be on the style of exist and it will exist? Like, if Allah says exist and the universe exists, how long this will take?
Second.
Second, right? Here's the point I'm at. But Allah didn't take a second. He took 6 days. Why do you think that? Why do you think He did?
Because He wanted to.
Yes, but there is a wisdom. He always calls us to call, to learn the wisdom. If Allah creates it in 6 days, Allah made it develop using the laws of nature. So as Allah said in Surah Al-Fussilat, that He filled up the sky, He filled up the universe. First of all, there was a mass. He created a mass that is very dense. Density is like huge. This mass explodes and fills the universe with smoke. This smoke started clustering and creating stars and planets and Earth and all of this. All of this formed using the laws of nature. So, if Allah will create things by exist, the command exist, it will be here. It means one word, exist. This one is laws of nature. Allah can make the word. So here, you can say Allah can make the word with the word exist and it will exist. You got that part? So Allah is ruling the universe with the laws of what? Exist. Got it? Allah is not ruling the universe by the miraculous laws. However, those unseen soldiers are miraculous or according to the laws of nature? The unseen soldiers that Allah sends, are they? Is it a miracle or is it according to the laws of nature?
Miracle,
exactly. So now, the reason is that Allah, if He wants to help with a miracle, Allah will. But after you do your job using the laws of nature. Yes?
Can I go to the restroom?
Okay. So you can, after After you do your job using the law of nature, then Allah may help you with the unseen soldiers. Allah has mentioned the unseen soldiers in three places in the Quran. One in Surah At-Tawbah, the other one in Surah Al-Ahzab, and the third one, I don't remember what's the name of the surah, but three times Allah speaks about the unseen soldiers. Allah says, I send the unseen soldiers to the ones that I love. So the ones who do their homework using the laws of nature, okay, and have a good connection with Allah, Allah help them with the unseen soldiers. Now, tell me, from the story I told you last time, how many times Allah helped his prophets outside of the laws of nature using miracles? How many times?
A lot of times. A lot.
Only three times.
Oh, okay.
What's the first time? When they surrounded his house. And what was the miracle?
He fell asleep. Allah made all the soldiers just fall asleep.
Yeah, exactly, mashallah. Then the second miracle is when? Huh? When is the second miracle?
Let's go.
Huh? When is the second miracle?
The second miracle is when the prophet, he...
The prophet what?
I like that.
The prophet what? Huh? Hiding in the cave, mashallah. Hiding in the cave. What was the miracle?
They couldn't
see the darkness of the cave that the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr was there. And what's the third miracle? Yes, the guy that with dollar signs in his eyes. What's his name? Huh? Suraqa ibn Malik. MashaAllah. Suraqa ibn Malik.
Remember the
quicksand
thingy?
Yeah.
I didn't catch this last time. Okay. Now, here is the catch. If you don't have a connection with Allah, if two people or two groups are fighting, they both have no connection with Allah. So, if I call this one misguided group A. Fighting against misguided group 2. Okay. So if misguided group 1 is fighting against misguided group 2. Both of them are misguided. Who wins?
Neither.
No.
The third group that sweeps an indefinite storm.
No. We're saying two groups are fighting. None of them have a relationship with Allah. So who wins?
Anybody.
No. Most likely the one that will win is the one that have what? More weapons? More soldiers?
So,
training. Right. They go according to the laws of nature. According to the laws of nature, can you write here? Big, not small. According to the lights, to the rules of nature, what happens according to the rules of nature?
The one with more weapons.
And more soldiers will win, right? They are basically judged by the laws of nature. But what happens when group A is misguided and group B is misguided? No, the first one is guided by Allah. They have a connection with Allah. And the second one, they don't have a connection with Allah. Then the rule, does it go by the laws of nature?
The first group will probably win by miracle because they're closer.
Yes. It will win with a miracle. Most likely. Okay? Because Allah might not wish to grant victory. Or the ratio could be large. People who studied, the historians, non-Muslim historians, by the way, and I testify to that. I heard it with my own ears. people who study the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me that the story of the Prophet and the success of the Prophet is a miracle. They said, until today, we can't understand how could one man in 23 years change the scumbags, they call the Arab scumbags. The Arabs were scumbags. The pre-Islamic Arabs were what? Scumbags. No better than scumbags. So now the Prophet took those scumbags and made a righteous superpower. Made a what? Remember this word.
Righteous
superpower. That conquered the two superpowers at this time, which are the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. So, again, righteous superpower. Because there are superpowers that are not righteous. Like the Romans Empire, they were not righteous. Persian Empires, they were not righteous.
How do you spell righteous?
R-I-G-H-T.
Why are you asking him?
That is
highly
that is so
mean.
Oh,
he's been in he's been in America more than any of you guys.
Right E-O-U-S.
Right.
Okay. You got it?
Righteous power?
So here we go. The one that is righteous, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the historian said, we can't believe how could a man at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam take a bunch of scumbags. Why did they call scumbags? Because they daddied their baby daughters alive.
Oh my god, that's mean.
Yeah, that's very mean.
Why girls?
Because they say
we used to be good for nothing.
They say it's more they say girls are more liability than assets. Why?
No.
Because the most important thing was...
Why does it say group A?
Was what?
Groups.
Fighting. They say girls...
He meant group B.
Oh.
They say... Did you change? Oh, okay. Because we're going to take the picture before you erase it. So, the misguided... So, what happened is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, success was a miracle. Why? Because the Arabs were scumbags. How? They buried their baby daughters alive, number one.
Baby daughter?
Yes. You get a baby daughter, they just put in the sand.
But thankfully, not when they're about, like, once it becomes a girl, then they'll go away.
They say, like the rich people, some people didn't want to do that, but many of them would do that. They say girls don't fight, or men, women don't fight. They need to be fed. They don't fight. And then if we're conquered, they take them as slaves. And they abuse them. So they didn't want that to happen. Of course,
the laws of miracles.
Of course, they would rather bury us than have bad.
Like three miracles. Swords.
According to miracles.
According to laws of nature plus miracles. According to both. Laws of nature plus miracles. So, they really surprised me because they are non-Muslims in saying that. They said the fact that Muhammad is built righteous superpower in 23 years, that's a miracle. That's unbelievable miracle. Okay, this goes way outside of the laws of nature. Now, those scumbags also used to do something worse than bury the baby daughters alive.
The Revolutionary War, plus the creation of the Constitution, that wasn't more than 23 years. And they defeated Britain, which happened to be...
Britain!
which happened to be years ago.
Okay, thank you very much.
23 years at that time is not enough to make a trip to the United States.
Uh-huh. Whoa.
I'm just giving you an example. It means like it's a lot of time. So at that time, you can't build a bridge in 23 years.
No, but if you think about the Revolutionary War, at that time, Britain was the superpower.
Yeah.
The Roman Empire.
No, I'm talking about the Revolutionary War.
Oh, okay.
So Britain was the superpower at the time. And if you look at the ratio, it's very similar to what the Prophet faced. And that happened in less than 23 years, too.
Yes, but it wasn't a righteous superpower.
That's just
it's an evil superpower that slaved everybody and killed people had slaves. You know, it wasn't a righteous superpower by any means.
But it was a superpower nonetheless.
Yeah, but at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was 14 years ago, it didn't have guns. It didn't have... It's all by the sword. So Britain, they had technology. They had guns. They had these big guns. And they had
accents.
Yes. Yeah. So they had really good weapons that would outnumber. Like if I have a gun and I have 20,000 people with one gun, do, I can finish them all. You see?
But the Americans didn't have that many people.
The Americans?
Yeah, the Americans, when they were fighting the British, they did not have that many people at all. In fact, the ratio was very similar to what the
prophets. Let's go.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not saying that. There must be something. They make him up with a good plan.
Well, yeah, the Prophet came up with a good plan.
Let's go.
Yes, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when his plan failed, Allah protected him with miracles. The British people, if their plan, they wouldn't win all the way. They won some wars and they lost other wars. So when their plan, according to the laws of nature, is not good enough, Allah is not going to send his unseen soldiers to hell. Okay, you got that part? Okay. So the historians say, number one, he converted the scum Arabs, that number one, bury their baby daughters alive. Number two, treat images the way Allah is to be treated. Like, treat images and statues the way Allah should be treated. And they deal with them as middle gods. Yeah, that's why he's saying, it's calling them scumbags. The third thing that the Arabs used to do very often, they had these wars that last 40 years, for example. Yeah. Like, there is a war called Dahis tribe against Ghabra tribe. Dahis tribe against the Ghabra tribe. It took 40 years. The two tribes almost finished each other. 40 years war. Why is that war?
Oh.
Dahis tribe against the Ghabra tribe. Dahis and then Ghabra.
Okay, I'll write the transliteration.
Dahis and the Ghabra. The war were what? Were 100 with 40 years war. Guess for what? Huh? Guess. 40 wars because of what? 40 years war because of what? No, camel fight. A camel race.
Wait, camel race?
Yes. They disputed over a camel race, and then they went into the war. Another thing, a fourth thing that qualifies the Arabs, the pre-Islamic Arabs, to the title scumbags. Yeah, they were really scumbags. They were really, really, really bad people. That they... Yeah, I'm just okay. The fourth thing that made them that way is that they brag about injustice. Like they say, we are the most unjust people here. They brag about, they say, we do unjust to everybody else and nobody can do unjust to us. Yeah, that's they brag about unjust injustice. They brag about it. They like, if you are unjust, means like you're mighty.
So basically, they're using their arrogance and saying that they're better than everyone else, so that where no one could own up to it, so they treat everyone else like dirt because they're not.
Exactly.
Them, right?
Huh? Yes. So now, in 23 years, the Prophet transformed those scumbags into Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar. Ibn al-Khattab, he transferred them into a righteous superpower. Into a what? Righteous superpower. And by the way, when you look at the battle against the Persian Empire, it was 60,000, the battle, 60,000 against 750,000 soldiers with war elephants and with hot hooks.
Oh, that's good.
Oh my God. If you think about it, George Washington never had more than 20,000 troops at a time. And if you consider the British, who had never ever been defeated before, they They had such root force. So if you consider it's not all that different.
Yeah. All right, how
I can look into that. I can look into that and send you an email. Okay. So now, guess what happened? In 23 years, and then they say something else. They say the only reason the Arabic language didn't die, they said the Arab people were nothing. They were just a bunch of people in the desert, scumbags in the desert, and they had no value. And the Arabic language would have died a long time ago with them. He said, because of the Quran. He said, if it wasn't for the Quran, the Arabic language would have died. But when Muslims become superpower, people would love to learn Arabic language, because it's a business language.
Two P's in worship.
Business language?
Yes. Like here in the United States, what's the business language? To do a business, you're talking what?
English.
That's it.
The Muslim Empire actually paid their money and put the sayings of the Quran on those coins and exchanged it with other people. And that for merchants to trade with the Arabs, they tried to speak Arabic.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's like us, like when I was raised in Egypt and Saudi Arabia, I always had English as a language. They want to teach me English. Why? Because they say it's the scientific language of the time and it's the business language of the time.
When were you born?
You need
in
to
Egypt?
Learn. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm Egyptian by race.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Egyptian.
That's
weird.
I
How is that possible?
Okay. Let me tell you something. I am from, just let's agree on something. I am from Islamistan. I am from what?
Islamistan.
Okay? But I was born in Cairo. Got it? So I am from Islamistan. You know what Islamistan is?
It's Cairo place.
It is the Islam citizenship.
Yeah.
So to avoid the racial things, I'm from Islamistan. So back into, but I was born in Egypt. So back then, he converted them into a righteous superpower. And then he said, if it wasn't for the Quran, the Arabic language would have vanished, and the Arab tribes would have vanished, and no one would ever remember those Arabs. They said they had nothing to contribute to humanity, and they were scumbags, and the language will die with them. But Islam made, or Quran made this language survive, and when Muslims become superpower, that's people learning their language so that when they come to the Muslim world, they can do business. Another thing, the Quran kept the... Exactly. But there's something else I wanted to say that I forgot. Anyway. Forgot it. So, basically, when you're dealing with competition, the winning party goes by the laws of nature and the unseen soldier. Got it? Sometimes in the Quran, Allah says 1 to 10, you prevail in a ratio 1 to 10. And then later on in this Quran, Allah said, because you have weaknesses, so right now it's a ratio 1 to 2. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran. However, in individual cases like this, we go by like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Allah wants to give us the message that, hey, if you're close to me, I will save you. If you're not close to me, then you're on your own. Got it? Yeah. Now, let me then ask you a question. What happened to the Prophet during the journey of Isra and the Mi'raj? Isra means, you have a friend called Isra? Isra means the night journey. And Mi'raj means the heavenly journey. Mi'raj means up. The other one, Isra, means night journey. So he got a night journey into Jerusalem and the heavenly journey to heaven where he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the question that I'm asking you, okay, Why is that by miracle? Why is this trip is miraculous trip?
Because it takes a month just to get to Jerusalem.
Yeah, he could have done it like he did with the travel with the camel. Why this is another example? There's also another example in the Quran. So here's the question. When he wants to immigrate, you go by the laws of nature. When you want to go to heavens, you go by the laws of miracles. So why is that? Why didn't you know? Why didn't the Prophet during immigration just bring him that animal that took him during the time of Isra? So he just said, no, you follow the laws of nature here. Why? Okay. No, there are two things that you need to distinguish. There is getting the job done and gift. Understand? To get the job done, you need to follow the laws of nature. Okay? But to get a gift, that's a special gift. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to follow the path of the Prophet, right? We want us to learn from it. If the miraculous animal took the Prophet during the time of Hijrah from Mecca to Jerusalem, then we say, oh, we don't have a miraculous animal. Then we can't follow his example. You got it? He sent the Prophet as an example. So what's the reason? Allah sent the Prophet as what?
An example.
Example. If he would ride the miraculous animal, then what? How could be he an example? Right? He wouldn't be any kind of an example then. Okay? Now, why did he honor him in the miracles of the Isra and the Mi'raj? Because that's a gift. That's what? A gift. Prophet Muhammad is not a role model for us into Isra and Mi'raj. Right? That's a special gift. Now, there is a religion that was based on Prophet. The Prophet was doing a lot of miracles. To the level that people end up worshiping him. Who is that guy? Person. Who is that prophet that he did so many miracles that the people made him God?
Prophet Isa.
Prophet Isa, alayhi salam. So Allah is showing to us that when a prophet does his work or get the job done using miracles, people will end up confusing him with Allah. And then worship him after he's gone. Because he used to raise people from dead. He used to heal people by hand touches. And he used to know the unseen. So people said, what's left for Allah? So they say they worshipped him. So Allah did not want that. So in Islam spread using the laws of nature. And let me ask you, what is the largest Muslim country? No, the largest in population.
Egypt?
No.
Indonesia.
Isn't it Indonesia?
Indonesia, that's right.
I'm from Indonesia.
Indonesia, perfect. You know how many Muslims there?
More than 50 million.
No, 200 millions and more.
Oh.
At least 200 millions.
Oh, at least.
Now, see the whole, okay, here's the surprise now. How did Islam come to Indonesia? Merchants.
Merchants. Oh.
You see? So somebody say, Islam is spread by violence. No, sir. Look at Indonesia. Islam is spread by righteous merchants. And there is a story for that. When those righteous Muslims, not righteous Americans. When righteous Muslims lived there and they did business in a very nice way, honest, and they always give you more. And the profit margin is very small, and they do a lot of charity. So people loved them, and the local merchant got out of business. Because everybody wants to do business with the Muslims, and the local people, nobody wants to do business with them. So they went to the king at that time. So the local merchant went to the king and said, those strangers coming to take our business away, we're starving, and then they have everybody. So can you please kick them out so that we can do our business? So the king said, okay, let me just bring somebody and hear what they have to do. But why are they taking business away from you? And I will rule accordingly. So they brought him a guy And the guy said, the person, he said, I do business with them because they are nice, kind, do a lot of charities, very small profit, the best quality, lowest the price, you named it. Said,
they
why?
Don't cheat on them injured.
Exactly.
Either.
So so the king said what? He said to the merchant, local merchant, okay, you know what they do? Do like them. Copy them. Very nice. He said, you copy them and you will get them business as well. Copy their model. So those people, merchants, made 200 million Muslims, the largest Muslim country, just by merchants,
what's
righteous
second?
Merchants.
What's the second?
I don't there. Remember. Maybe Malaysia or something. But anyway, so we are back into the same thing we're talking about, which is the concept of gift versus the concept of getting the work done. Okay? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with another lady, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her two things, happened two things with her. One was according to the laws of nature, and the other one is according to a miracle. So she did both, like the Prophet Muhammad. She had a miracle and she had a law of nature. Who's her? And she's a well-known woman from the four righteous women. Four perfect women. There are four perfect women in history, according to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Maryam.
So what was the miracle things that she got from Allah?
She gave birth to a child without a father.
Actually, leave this aside. Something else before she gets pregnant. Yes. Yes. She will, Zachariah, her uncle, will walk into her room and he will see a lot of fruits that doesn't grow anywhere near. So he will say, Ya Maryam, who brought you this? She said, Allah. Because she was staying in the worship room, which is mihrab, okay? And basically moving and thinking of Allah, and she had so much love with Allah that she doesn't think about anything else. Somebody, there's a very righteous person at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a little bit after the time of the Prophet. People say, ask him, do you think about something else during the prayer? Like us, we think about something and we pray.
Yeah.
Huh? So guess what he said? No, he said, outside of the prayer, I think about Allah. So what do you think of inside the prayer I'll be thinking about? You understand?
Wait. Okay, so if you do prayer, like, you don't want to do it, but your mom makes you do it or something, does it count?
Yes. Because your obedience to your mom counts with the prayer. So this Maryam will get the fruit. Is it miracle? Yes, it's a miracle. But now, her birth to Prophet Jesus. Huh? Was it a miracle?
Yes.
Well, there was another miracle after she gave birth. Okay. There was like a pomegranate.
Getting pregnant? Yes. MashaAllah. Excellent.
You need
excellent thing.
She grew the palm tree by herself.
MashaAllah.
And if you ever see a palm tree, you know like 10 people can't shake it. And then she after she gave birth, and she's totally weak, and she goes, a lady goes and shakes a palm tree and dates fall, which is a miracle.
MashaAllah. I'm very impressed. This is exactly what I wanted to say. You got it?
Yeah. Did everybody hear that?
Did everybody hear that? This is exactly what I wanted to say.
No, because she died.
Can you repeat it again, Hania?
So after she gave birth, she was weak, right? But so Allah told her to go shake the date tree that she was lying underneath. And if you've ever seen a date tree, it's very strong and like 10 people can't shake it. But this lady who's been weakened by birth and everything in labor, and she goes and shakes it by herself and dates fall.
Perfect. Exactly. That's what I wanted to say. So Allah made her, in this part, do work according to kind of laws of nature, but with his help. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes.
So would that be like half and half?
Yes, exactly. The Prophet, she did her homework. She did her homework.
Why do you have two phones?
She did her homework. Okay, let's focus here. She did her homework of shaking the palm tree. But Allah says, you're not shaking it with your hands. I am shaking it with my hands for you. But he wanted her to do that, just like the prophet. He wanted him to use the laws of nature. But when he gets stuck, Allah helps him with miraculous laws. That leads us to another concept called the concept of tawfiq that we talked about before. The concept of tawfiq. So if you are close to Allah, you get more tawfiq. You get more tawfiq. We talked about tawfiq before, remember?
Yeah.
Now, when you are closer to Allah, Allah gives you more tawfiq. Let's say somebody doesn't have tawfiq. Okay, he lacks tawfiq. He wakes up in the morning, he wants to take a shower, there's no water. Then he gets dressed, he doesn't have clean dress. So he dressed dirty dress, and then he comes and starts his car is not starting. Okay, he takes the bus, okay? The bus broke down. Then he walks. He walks. He hurts his knee. Do you see the end? No, this is lack of tawfiq. Allah is making it lack of tawfiq. It's giving him lack of tawfiq. How about somebody else? He wakes up in the morning, everything's going fine, he goes to work, and then that day he sells stocks, and then he made $2 million, and you know what I'm saying?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Just think of someone like that. This person has tawfiq. Who controls the tawfiq? Allah. People call it luck.
Yeah.
That people call it luck. We Muslims call it tawfiq.
And then also karma. Yeah. A popular Hindu belief where
yes.
Man will come back to get you.
Exactly.
As well as kismet.
Yeah.
Right?
For the ones who believe in Hindu's belief. So you can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps his prophet with tawfiq. Now, let's go back to the laws of nature and a little bit. We are, that's the second point that we want to, time ran out. Okay.
Keep going.
The second time that we will be talking about the subject next is about the free will. How does it fit that we have a law of nature? Now, do we have a free will in the laws of nature?
Yeah.
Regarding the things that are controlled only by laws of nature?
No.
Like, do we have the freedom to make the sun rise from the west?
No.
You know that stupid king? That Prophet Ibrahim, you know the story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He brought a guy, spared him, and he brought another guy, he put him into jail, yes. Okay? So, Prophet Ibrahim said to himself, I think this, or like, you see that this king is either stupid or playing stupid. So he took him out of this, and he said, look at the sun, can you bring it from the west? He couldn't. Why? Because that's a law of nature, controlled by laws of nature. Can you stop yourself from aging?
Nope.
No. All is the laws of nature. Okay? So, here we go. So, do we have freedom? Do we have free will? Yes or no? If you say yes, I say no. If you say no, I say yes.
Okay.
Means what? Means we have part of our existence controlled by the laws of nature, and part is not. You got it? So there's part under our control, and there's another part under the control of laws of nature. The part that is under our control are called the laws of
nature.
Under our control.
Yeah, under our control.
The laws of Islam. Do we have the choice to break them?
No.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah. People break the laws of Islam left and right.
Okay.
So
if you lie, then you're breaking the laws of Islam.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Now, there is another a group of laws, okay, called the laws of nature you can't break. So can you stop yourself from aging?
No.
Good luck. Aging is a disease or is a phenomena that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Every single disease has a cure, except aging. Allah said, "Stop aging, that's impossible."
But aging is
like a negative phenomenon, like nobody likes. If you could stop yourself from aging, just like the lady when you do a birthday, you ask her, How old are, how many candles we put? She says, 25. Okay, the next year you come, how many candles? 24. So,
let's go.
So, what was that thing we put on mommy's birthday? That I gave the tort, the cake, you remember?
Every single year, my mom turns 27. I turns 27.
But I did something. I put an equation there. Do you remember the equation? I'll give.
Wait, it was like something like, I don't remember.
But anyway, you get the idea. It's like, this is your 25th birthday, 23rd birthday. Or this is the 5th, 23rd birthday. So you stop at 23rd and then you go. What I'm trying to say here is that they, even though they do that, they don't. They can't stop aging. Okay? So you have the laws of nature. You have the laws of Islam. Can you tell me why Allah is not allowing us to control both the laws of nature and the laws of Islam? Why Allah doesn't make it all laws of Islam and forget about the laws of nature?
It would be easier for you because,
But there's a stronger reason.
Didn't the Prophet Isa talk?
Yes.
Huh?
I don't
know
a question about Prophet Isa. Did Allah want, did he want to create Christianity? Because he purposely had Prophet Isa have a bunch of miracles.
So it was a test, and also Allah wants us to see the wisdom of him spreading Islam using the laws of nature. Just like he said, why isn't he getting Islam spread? 100% laws of nature. Okay, miracles were these unseen soldiers. You don't really see them. They come from Allah. So basically, when two people, like Umar ibn Khattab used to say, okay guys, we win because of our righteousness, because the unseen soldiers. If we are as bad as our enemies, then it depends on their weapons and intelligence. You got it? Weapons and intelligence. You got that?
Wait. Okay. So any more miracles about
Prophet
Isa?
Oh, the palm tree. So think with me. Why Allah did not let it all be controlled by the laws of Islam? No laws of nature? Think. Okay, let me give you an example. If somebody can control the air, what would happen?
Well, it's actually in the book of the Lorax. Where the guy, O'Hare, had this company called O'Hare Air, where he sold clean air to people because everywhere there was so much smog that they needed clean air.
Yeah.
Well,
the laws of...
If a person can control it, like using O'Hare for example, he would be the only one who would have it, and would be the only one people would turn to to get the air they need. He would be bringing all
be
this
gone.
Power, wealth, and fame from it.
Right. Another thing is the sun. If we can control the movement of the sun, then what would happen? We say, we are the best nation on God's green earth. The other people don't deserve sun, so we will have the sun 24/7 for us. You got it? You understand here? So what would happen to the universe? The question, what would happen to the universe? If Allah gave us control over the laws of nature, there's...
Then everything would be like...
Yes.
One control over it,
right.
And it wouldn't be the same.
Exactly.
No one had control.
Yes, it's going to be a disaster. And life will not continue on earth. That's absolutely no. Life will never...
No.
No, life will not survive on earth if people can control the sun and the moon and everything like that. That's going to be crazy. And life is going to be destroyed. So basically, our free will is the laws of Islam... are within the laws of nature. I'm sorry. You have a void, or you have a gap here.
Smells nice.
You have a gap.
He smells like perfume.
And then laws of nature. This is laws of Islam. You got it? You got it? You have a void, a gap. within this gap called circle of influence. The gap called what?
Circle of influence.
Within that circle of influence, you can, you rule yourself using, remember, you rule yourself using the what? The laws of Islam. So you rule yourself. But with outside of this circle of influence, then what? Who runs you? Who rules you? The laws of nature. You got it? So to make things go right, to make life possible on earth, to make life possible on earth, Allah held some laws to his power, which are the laws of nature. Nobody can change. So this way we can, the earth is livable. We can live on earth. Everybody have a circle of influence, he or she. Within this circle of influence, Allah will judge you. Did you rule yourself by Islam? Did you rule yourself, not be ruled? Would Allah judge you for aging? No, because this is you being ruled by the laws of nature. You got that? So within the laws of nature, Allah creates a gap called the circle of influence where you want to rule yourself. Now, would Allah judge you for my circle of influence? Would Allah judge you for my sins within? I failed to rule myself with the rules of Islam.
Unless you influenced him in his circle of influence.
Unless it's by force. Anything that you do by force, you're not judged for it. The one who made you do it is the one that will be judged. You got it?
For example, if you had like a child and you never teach him not to lie. And they end up lying when they're grown up. You'll also get some of the sins because you never taught them what was good and what was bad.
Everyone lies.
No, you never told him this is right. Raise him right. You didn't raise him right. So if you don't raise your child right, and this child becomes bad, every single deed, bad deed he does, is going to lie into you. Get a copy of that bad deed. You got it?
But on the other hand,
did you take pictures of this?
Only that part and not that.
Go ahead and take the picture. All right. We're done here. But remember, what I do, I put the questions this way. I play the audio file, and as I put questions. So if you ever have any problem with any question, just go listen to it.
Okay.
The same flow. Wa alaikum salam. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Insha'Allah.